In the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate, hello and welcome to Peer Home with me, Saad Haqju. Well, we all throw these terms around kind of loosely, like belief, spirituality, religion, and so on. But in reality, religion has a huge effect on a healthy mind, and hence a healthy life and a happy person. Today, we'll discuss the effect of religion on a healthy mind. And of course, we'll have from here and there, we'll have much, much more and a report. So stay with us. Don't go away. We are waiting for our honorable guest in our London studios. He hasn't arrived yet, so we'll go and listen to our story and we'll be back.
Once upon a time, a man made friends with a snake in the land of legends. The friendship of the man and the snake lasted for a long time. Whenever the man was walking in the ruins, he looked up at the snake's hole and greeted it. The snake was very happy of this friendship and was satisfied with having a friend among human beings. One day, the man went near the snake's hole and said hello to it. The snake said, "Wait a minute, I have something for you." Then it took out a gold coin and gave it to the man. The man asked, "Why are you giving me this coin?" The snake answered, "During this time, I found you to be a kind and faithful friend. From now on, I'll give you coins anytime I can. Just keep this a secret." The man became happy and took the coin and left. He went to the snake the other days, and the snake gave him many more coins. One day, the man's young son asked him, "You seem to be earning good money. How has it happened?" The man looked bitterly at his son and said, "You'd better mind your own business. If I deemed it necessary, I would tell you." The son realized that something was happening, but he didn't know where and how. For the same reason, he decided to keep an eye on his father to realize where so much money came from. For this reason, he followed his father one day. He saw his father go to a corner in the ruins and started talking secretly. Suddenly, a snake came out of the hole and started talking with his father. After a short while, the snake went into its hole, held a coin in its mouth, and came out. The father took the coin and left. When the son saw this, he was filled with joy. He thought, "I'll take the snake's coins one of these days and become rich." After a few days, when the man was not home, the son went to the ruins and called the snake. The snake came out of the hole. The son asked the snake kindly to come out of the hole completely. The snake, which didn't know what the boy was going to do, came out. The son held the snake from its waist suddenly and said, "Tell me where the gold coins are. If you don't tell me, I'll hit your head with a stone." The snake moved rapidly and bit the boy on the leg. Then it crawled back into its hole. The boy fell down on the ground, and since nobody was there to help him, he died. The man went home, but he didn't find his son there. He asked the neighbors whether they had seen his son or not. Somebody told him that a young man was dead in the ruins. The man went to the ruins and found his son dead near the snake's hole. He understood that the snake had bitten him. Some days later, he went to the ruins again. The snake came out of its hole while it was frightened. The man asked sadly, "Why did you kill my son?" The snake said, "Didn't I tell you that nobody should know about our friendship?" The man said, "I hadn't told him anything. Maybe he had followed me one day and learned about this place. Now tell me why you killed him." "He wanted to kill me. I bit him to save myself, but I didn't want to kill him." The man, who was very angry, grabbed the snake and pulled it out of its hole. The man tried to kill the snake, but he couldn't. The snake also tried to bite the man, but he couldn't. So the snake crawled into this hole quickly. The man took the snake's tail and pulled it. The snake's tail was cut off. The man promised himself to kill the snake and take his son's revenge. After some days, the man was a little bit relieved of the sorrow of his son's death. He remembered that the snake gave him coins. He thought, "I shouldn't forget my friendship with the snake. After all, it was my son who wanted to kill the snake. I'd better go and apologize to it. In this way, he will continue to give me coins." The man went to the ruins and called the snake kindly. The snake, which was afraid of the man, said, "Go away. I don't have anything to do with you. I've come here to revive my friendship with you. The past has gone." The snake put his head out of the hole a little and said, "It's useless. Our friendship has come to an end." "But why?" "Because there's no more friendship between you and me. As long as I remember my tail and you remember your son, our friendship is finished." This saying applies to people who leave no way out of an animosity.
Welcome back to the program. We are joined by Hujjatul Islam Sayyid Muhammad Razavi, an Islamic scholar in London. Assalamu alaikum. How are you?
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for hosting.
No problem. Thanks for coming to the program. It's great to have you. So let's start off, Maulana, by asking, we're discussing the effect of religion on having a healthy mind. And so it's only fair that we start off by describing what a healthy mind and some of the aspects of a healthy mind actually are.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just as our body needs food, our mind also requires food. And food for the body makes and keeps us healthy. And if we go to the extreme limits in feeding ourselves, and if we exaggerate, it harms our body. In the similar way, our mind also requires feeding, and the food for mind is given by belief, by our thoughts. And if our thoughts are inspired by divine guidance, by the Creator who has created us, then we could be guided to the right path, and we could keep the balance for our healthy mind. But if our, although by nature all human beings are in search of this eternal peace, and they are in search of their Creator, they want to set their mind at peace by looking for this, but later on we are corrupted. There are verses of Holy Quran and teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam in which it has been said that every single human being that has come to this world has come on the nature of submission to the will of God. And it's later on that the parents and the society and the environment corrupts the mind and leads them into different directions. And this itself shows and proves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not imposed, especially in this world, has not imposed anything on us, and it's our freedom of choice. It's up to us to decide what we want. If we choose to go on the right path, we are going to be the beneficiaries. And if we choose to go on the wrong path, we are going to face the difficulties and problems, not only in this world, in the world hereafter as well. So, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in Holy Quran mentions that Allah does not change people. It's up to people to change. This world is not designed to impose something on us. This world is designed to test us in this world while we are here in the short period of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to test us that how we use this liberty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us by moving towards the path of perfection. We are required to continuously aim for perfection from all aspects of our life, whether metaphysical or physical. We have to continuously move towards perfection.
Mm-hmm. So basically, the takeaway would be that we were in the healthy mind would be somewhat correlated with a belief or spirituality, and we've been instilled with this once we were born, but then as of the effects of our surroundings, we've been corrupted and deviated from this path. But we need to strive to get back on this path of belief to acquire this healthy mind, and then later on we'll discuss how religion can help us with this. Obviously, this healthy mind is belief. Ultimately, that's what it is that helps us to keep that mind healthy. So now let's move on to the correlation between religion and a healthy mind. So, I mean, you touched on it, but to emphasize a little bit more how religion can help us to enhance that healthy mind.
Well, if aqidah literally means not of thoughts. Nobody in this whole world can claim that they don't have an aqidah, or they don't have belief, or they don't have a knot of thoughts in their mind. Even the person who says, "I don't believe in God," has an aqidah. I mean, that is what he believes. So we cannot imagine a person or human being that doesn't have an aqidah.
So even those people, would they have faith in something else, maybe a faith in some kind of spiritual supreme being that I guess they don't call God, so to speak, but there is some kind of source that they have a faith in, right?
Yeah, what I'm trying to say that everybody has thought, but what makes the aqidah important and those thoughts, what gives value to those thoughts is the divine guidance. Mm-hmm. If we are connected to our God and we are able to distinguish between false and truth and with our uncorrupted mind, then definitely we would reach to that goal, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submission to His will, and finally achieving the perfection, the highest level of perfection in this world and also the world hereafter. So definitely aqidah plays an important role in human life, and I don't want to go into the details of scientific research. They have done so many researches that how people who had belief in some kind of supreme creator who has created us, or we may call it God, call him God, or others may call him Khuda or Allah or anyone else. Whoever had this aqidah, this faith, this belief, were calm. And those who did not know anything, what is happening to their life in this world, where are they going, they start panicking at the end of their life. They may claim that, oh, they are easy, or they are happy, or they are okay, but I have personally witnessed that those who don't believe in anything at all, they start panicking. Let me quote you a narration from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. He heard one of his followers praying for his friend that, oh Allah, don't give any kind of trouble and difficulty to my friend. In reply, when Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam heard this person praying this way, he said, this is a wrong dua. Then this person asked him, then what is the right dua? How should I pray? I would like this friend of mine to be helped. I don't want him to face any difficulty and problems in this world. Imam Ali replied, there is no one in this world who would not face difficulties. There is no one who would not face problems in this world. So therefore it would be wrong dua to pray for someone that he or she may not face any difficulty. Then he asked, what should I pray? In reply, Imam Ali ibn Talib said that you should pray, may Allah not make him lose faith while he is going through difficulties. And that is the most precious thing that we have. This is what I was trying to get from this narration, that Imam Ali, according to Imam Ali ibn Talib, the most valuable thing one person could have is his aqeedah, in his faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that is lost, then you have lost everything. Problems are not the difficulties. Problems are not the issue in this world.
It's just how you deal with those problems.
Yeah, it's how you deal with them. And while you are dealing with them, you come out with faith. Not you, if the result is that you, because you face problems and you end up being a non-believer, then you have lost everything.
Right.
If you face the difficulties and problems and then you don't have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you manage to go through the problems and difficulties and then come out still a believer, that means you have passed your test. And we have to look at the lives of all our prophets. I mean,
mm-hmm.
all prophets who came, all holy imams and ma'sumeens and infallibles who came, they all went through difficulties. If the problems were designed for us, then prophets and imams were the most deserving personalities who should not have had any problems in their
life.
Well,
I think then heaven and hell would also be meaningless, right? Because if we weren't tested, there wasn't trials and tribulations and so on, then there'd be no point in having heaven and hell, right? Because how would you have acquired, gone through those hardships and succeeded, like you said, coming out winning and coming out with faith? So there has to be these trials, and you have to see whether you come out successful or whether you fail, right?
Yeah, whole existence of this world, whole existence of ourselves would come under question if these trials and tribulations were not there, and if we were not tested. So the aim, we believe that Allah and our Creator is wise.
Mm-hmm.
And we also believe that فِعْلُ الْحَكِيمِ لَا يَخْلُ عَنِ الْحِكْمَةِ that a wise being's action is not without wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So Allah is the most wise being. So He would have not created us just for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And there are verses and sayings of Prophet in Islamic teachings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not sitting there and getting bored and He suddenly created us to have fun. No.
Mm-hmm.
The reason He created us, the reason He created this whole universe, the reason He created whatever is around us is not accident. It
mm-hmm.
was the action of a wise creator,
right.
And everything has
planning.
A purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose of our life is to move towards perfection.
Okay. Maulana Razavi, if we can just stop there, we'll go for a break. When we come back, it's time for From Here and There. Of course, after that, we'll continue our discussion about a religion and a healthy mind. Welcome back to the program. Well, now it's time for From Here and There with my colleague, Mr. Bafoju. In this segment of the program, he'll have an informative book for us, an interesting article, and a lovely email from you, our dear viewers. So let's let Mr. Bafoju take over. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Ms.
Sakju.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this part of the show, From Here and There. Let me start with our first article. A study has identified remarkable differences in the neural wiring of men and women that clarifies why males and females have different abilities at certain tasks. The study carried out at the University of Pennsylvania through observing the connectomes. They are a comprehensive map of neural connections in the brain, both sexes revealed greater neural connectivity from front to back and within one hemisphere in males. The scanned brains of nearly 1,000 men, women, boys, and girls helped the team unveil the differences, according to the study report, which was published in Journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. According to the recent observation, the researchers suggest male brains are structured to facilitate connectivity between perception and coordinated action. They also say the brain's wiring map in women goes between the left and right hemispheres, indicating that they facilitate communication between the analytical and intuition. The findings explain why men, in general, tend to be better at learning and performing a single task, like cycling or navigating, whereas women are more equipped for multitasking, researchers say. Welcome back. The book I am going to introduce you today could be appealing to those of you who are interested in learning about the history in general and the history of Islam in particular. The title of the book is Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib. It is written by Kamal al-Sayyid. Some of the chapters of the book include with Abu Jahl, the birthday, the ninth year after the mission, the migration, the sacrifice in Mecca, the revenge, and the master of martyrs. I'm positive you will enjoy reading the book. And now, as for your emails, we have one written by Mariam to us. She has said to us, "Hello, thanks for your informative program. I would like to ask you to have a series of programs on children's psychology. It seems in the modern world, upbringing children requires more psychological knowledge." Well, I absolutely agree with you, especially at this time, because of the technology, because of the complex relations among people. But anyway, I promise in our next programs, we will have experts in child psychology. I think we had it before, right, Ms. Arju?
Excuse me, here and there. We've had some about raising children compared to Islam, but I think we will. Hopefully we're planning to bring an expert in this regard, so we're looking forward to it too.
So Mariam, rest assured, we will have an expert on child psychology in our next programs. Thanks for watching. Back to Ms. Arju.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bafoju. Now, a report is about the Family Journal. It's an introduction and it's in English, so let's take a look and see what that's all about.
In the name of God. Journal of Family Research is an academic research journal which has been published since 2005. The journal belongs to Shahid Beheshti University and was published by the research center of this institute with the help of Iranian Family Excellence Center. Up to now, we have published 30 timely issues of this journal. Moreover, some special issues have been published with specific topics, which I will talk about later on. This quarterly has an interdisciplinary approach. We publish articles in such disciplines as psychology, sociology, educational sciences, psychiatry, Islamic sciences, counseling, and social medicine. Any topic which is related to family can be published in this journal. We think that our audience includes university faculty members, students and researchers who work on family issue in Iran or in other countries. Fortunately, this journal has been able both to receive academic research status from the Ministry of Science, Research and Technology and to be known as an authoritative journal throughout the country. It is regularly indexed in PsycINFO International Index, which is an American index of journals of psychology and is the most important index of journals of psychology. Articles to be published are chosen based on article reviews. At least 3 reviewers must read and approve each article. The main aim of the quarterly, which has been pursued from the beginning up to the present, is to create a kind of interaction amongst experts and researchers working on family issue, and preferably to create a kind of international interaction in this regard. Fortunately, up to the present, when we are publishing the 8th number of this journal, this aim has been fulfilled very well. We have been able to create a good interaction not only amongst the researchers of psychology, but also amongst the researchers of other disciplines. Today, when you take a glance at the Journal of Family Research, you see the articles from different disciplines such as law, social services, social medicine, psychology, and sociology are put together in an integrated form. We believe that it was necessary to do so because family is interdisciplinary topic, and its interdisciplinary nature has to be recognized by all experts in a way that they are led to a regular and active interaction with each other. Now today, the Journal of Family Research is a very active and well-known forum for interaction in this area, and we hope that it will continue in the future. Currently, the most important aim of the editorial board is to emphasize and publish research projects which are conducted in Iran or other Persian-speaking countries. It is also worth mentioning that another aim of the journal has always been to enter practical and applied areas and deal with domestic issues in a scientific manner. For example, we published 2 special issues dealing specifically with 2 bills related to family issue and to the activities of Family Research Institute and Family Excellence Center. One of them was the Bill of Supporting Family, and our reviewers selected and published a series of articles which critiqued this bill. We then gave the journal to the members of the parliament so that they would be able to better consider the bill. We published another special issue about juvenile delinquency. Again, we published the critiques and evaluations of experts, jurists, and sociologists about a bill submitted to the parliament in this regard. Another topic which was dealt with in a special issue was the role of art, and especially art therapy, in family. These 3 special issues were published besides the 30 issues which were published regularly during these 8 years. We still hope to be able to deal with issues specifically related to family and to create more interactions in this regard.
Welcome back to the program. Well, if you've just tuned in, we're speaking about religion and the effects that religion has on a healthy mind. And we're joined by Hujjatullah Zaman Sayyid Muhammad Razavi in our London studios. So, Maulana, going back to our discussion about a healthy mind, what I'm wondering is something we didn't touch on is, does a healthy mind, we want to say, does a religious person lack a healthy mind? And in this aspect, what we mean of a healthy mind, we can say things that, characteristics and attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like, such as jealousy, hate, pride, and so on and so forth. If you have these, can you also be a religious person? Person and a believing person and lack a healthy mind at the same time?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, and He wants us to have the same attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. So if we look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes, we don't find these kinds of attributes, and there are narrations that we are supposed to resemble, make our life resemble the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has mentioned regarding Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was sent to complete the stage, I mean, to lead us and guide us to have better manners. And he himself, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, used to say that I have been appointed to complete the stages of better manners in the society. So the aim of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the aim of all the prophets that were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to keep us away from such thing as jealousy, anger, and yes, I mean anger can be used in the right place, jealousy can be used in the right place, but if we use it in the wrong place, then it is wrong. Although in the Western society, jealousy is completely not accepted, and there is a difference between jealousy and ghira.
Mm-hmm.
When a husband says that I love my wife and he protects his wife from others, it's not jealousy. It's he's trying to protect his honor, respect, and dignity, not only of himself, his wife and children, and he doesn't want them to be harmed. So mm-hmm. that is called ghira.
That's a form of protection, I would say, right? A form of possession and protection, yeah, hand in hand.
It's not jealousy.
Right.
Yeah. But jealousy is a completely different thing. Mm-hmm. Jealousy means if I don't wish you to have what you have, mm-hmm. and I'm not happy with that. That is called jealousy. That's why in teachings you find that when you see somebody has a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should pray for prolonging the blessings for him or her,
mm-hmm.
and then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, bless me with the similar blessing or better blessing.
Maybe you can use it as a motivation, right? To ask and, like you said, to pray for something that they have, but not use it as jealousy, right?
Yeah, so mm-hmm. We have to look at everything with a positive approach. We should not be negative. We should not create negativity in our life. And if we do that, we are passing this to our future generation.
But so how does that stand? Parents. So can a believing, a religious person have these qualities and hence, I guess, these would take away from a healthy mind? Can they have these qualities and be a religious believing person at the same time?
If you want to look at the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam and Islamic teachings, yes, you can't.
You can't.
You may be religious, but you are not complete. You're not a perfect person.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a perfect example. You have your weaknesses. Yeah. So we need to move towards perfection, which is called takamul in Persian or Arabic or Urdu or other languages.
Mm-hmm.
But perfection is the aim. We should not be happy and say that, oh, doesn't matter, I pray, I do all my obligations, so what if I'm jealous?
Mm-hmm.
This is not the sign of being religious. The sign of being religious is that we adopt the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our daily life.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of jealousy, and there are narrations also regarding jealousy that it eats you up like fire eats the wood.
Mm-hmm. Just as hate or
burns the wood.
Wood, I think. Or
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so basically we're saying a religious person, they lack certain things and they haven't reached that ultimate belief because they're lacking attributes that, like you said, Allah would have. And we've seen the perfect example of the prophets and the Ahlul Bayt, that Allah has given them a lot of these attributes so that we can learn from them a real life example of attributes that Allah has. So we need to basically tilt away from some of our bad habits to be complete religious-wise, hence increasing and enhancing a healthy mind. We have a bit more, I think, to talk about how we can do this and how we can instill this within our families, but we'll go and we'll take a look at a clip and we'll be back.
Thank you.
دیوانه ما را که برد خانه صد بار تو را گفتم کم خور دو سه پیمانه در شهر یکی کس را هوشیار نمی بینم هر یک بتر از دیگر شوریده و دیوانه هر گوشه یکی مستی دستی زده بر دستی وان ساقی سرمستی با ساغر شاهانه ای لولی بربط زن تو مستری یا من ای پیش چو تو مستی افسون من افسانه از خانه برون رفتم مستیم به پیش آمد در هر نظرش مزمن صد گلشن و کاشانه چون کشتی بیلنگر کج می شد و مج می شد و از حسرت او مرده صد عاقل و فرزانه.
Welcome back. Well, I think some of that beautiful scenery can definitely enhance a healthy mind and belief, definitely. Maulana Razavi, what can we do for some of the people who are lacking in these areas and lacking in some areas of belief in a healthy mind? What can they do to enhance a healthy mind and strengthen their belief?
We need to follow the example of role models, and our role models are prophets and holy imams and infallibles. And let me quote a narration from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. He used to say that follow me, and at the same time he used to say, and I know that you wouldn't be able to follow me exactly, but we should make an effort to be like Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. Although we know that we will never be like him, because he was an infallible, he was most knowledgeable person, he is one of our leaders of Muslim Ummah, but we have to follow him. And then when we have this aim in our life, that we want to resemble the life of holy prophets, we want to resemble the life of holy imams, we want to follow them, we want to be like them, then whatever level, whatever stage we reach, we will get the reward of exactly following them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that every single one of us has different capability, different ability, different circumstances. For example, what Imam Ali could do, we definitely can't do. But no. When we are making an effort to be like him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at our intention.
So we're judged on different scales, right? To move that, mm-hmm. Because everyone's different, they have different circumstances.
Move towards that perfection. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nobody can be compared. I usually tell my clients that, look, especially when husband and wife come and they complain, and they usually, oh look, my friend's husband is like this, or my friend's mm-hmm. wife is like this. I say family life is just like driving a car. You should never copy another driver, because the way he is driving, the way he knows the road, the way he knows the car, you can never know the car and the road and the environment, and you can never be expert like that person. Mm-hmm. So you have to lead your life, you have to lead your family life, you have to lead your own life. You should according to your capabilities, according to mm-hmm. what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you. For example, if there is a person who is disabled, you cannot expect the disabled person to be exactly like you, although he or she may be able to reach to the utmost level of piety and perfection, mm-hmm. and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept their action under whatever circumstances they are doing that, mm-hmm. or able to offer their
to do compared to their situation.
Their mm-hmm.
Now, finally, in the last couple of minutes we have left, how can members of the family kind of instill and enhance that healthy mind and that religious belief within the family?
Well, the verses of Quran say that the move towards healthy mind or perfection should start from oneself. Mm-hmm. especially the leader of the family, according to because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us as social beings, and the requirement of a social being is to have a leader. Even the smallest unit of the society needs to have a leader, and that leader is responsible to first of all look at himself and correct himself. And husband and wife are the two wheels of the family that run the family towards and lead the family towards perfection. So these two need to help each other to set an example for the future generation. And once you have led your family towards the perfection, then you have to expand the circle to your family, other extended family members, and then neighbors and friends, and then the village that you are living in, the town, the area, the country, whatever. I mean, if you are a person who could travel around the world, your responsibility is greater than someone else. And nowadays, I would say that with the existence of the modern facilities of communication, social media, every single person has responsibility to not to only keep guiding themselves, but
now it's a global village, right?
We're all
in connection to each other.
Yeah, it's a global village. We are connected to each other, so we are responsible. We are more responsible than the people who used to live around Prophet Muhammad's time, because they didn't have these facilities.
Thank you so much, Hujjatul Islam Sayyid Muhammad Razavi, for being with us and enlightening us about religious belief and a healthy mind. I think in turn, if we enhance our healthy mind, we can be intrinsically happy and reach that innermost or the utmost piety, like you said. If we have that belief and they all hand in hand, we can start from within, which is ultimately we have that responsibility, and then move outwards towards our family, our spouse, our children, our community, and so on and so forth. Thank you again for being with us. It was great having you. And to our viewers, thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, go onto our website, sahartv.ir is our website, and drop us a line and tell us what you think. purehome@sahartv.ir is our email. Thanks so much for inviting us into your pure home. Until next time, goodbye and God bless.